As we continue working through the Psalms in our evening worship service, we come this evening to Psalm 87. Psalm 87. I invite you to turn with me in your copies of God's Word to Psalm 87. Hear now the living Word of God. A psalm of the sons of Korah, a song. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to those who know me. Behold, O Philistia, entire with Ethiopia, this one was born there. And of Zion it will be said, this one and that one were born in her. And the Most High himself shall establish her. The Lord will record when he registers the peoples, this one was born there. Selah. Both the singers and the players on instruments say, all my springs are in you. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Let's pray and seek his blessing. Our Lord, we do thank you for your word that you have preserved through the ages. We thank you, Lord, for your truth, and we thank you, Lord, for the psalm that we consider this evening. We do pray that you would, by your Holy Spirit, give us eyes to see. May you, Lord, give us ears to hear. May you inscribe your truth on our very hearts. And we pray that you would bless my mind and my mouth, that I might think and speak clearly this evening. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Going back a few years, back to the fall of 2015, if you're not a sports fan, you probably don't know the significance of that. And even if you are a sports fan and you don't follow the Kansas City Royals, then you also probably don't know the significance of that year. But it was a year that the Royals finally won, after several decades, the World Series. And the last time they won it, I was a young child, and my parents took me out of school, and we went and watched the parade. And so in 2015, Ezra, also being a young child at that time, he and I hopped on a plane, and as I had some miles to use, and went to Kansas City and observed the parade. And as we consider that story of traveling that distance to be a part of that event, I wasn't the only one from out of state that came, or out of the bounds of the city of Kansas City, to come and descend upon that area. Something like the city population of the Kansas City area nearly tripled in size during that celebration. You had everyone coming from all over the country to take part, and for that moment, regardless of where we lived, we were all Kansas Citians, rooting for the Royals and celebrating in the victory that they had attained. Now, what we have here in Psalm 87 is not some meaningless baseball game that, in the grand scheme of eternity, has no bearing on anything, though however enjoyable it may be. Nothing as so insignificantly shallow as the place on earth in which we reside, tying people together, people from all over. What we have here in this psalm is God himself registering not just Israelites as being the citizens of Zion, but we have the global plan of God in salvation, that nations of all the earth would be counted as born in Zion, as citizens of the very city of God. And as we consider this psalm tonight, this is a reason for you and I to rejoice. We can rejoice because our citizenship is not found in Kansas City. It's not found in Boise. It's not found in Manhattan, Kansas. It's not found wherever. Our citizenship is first and foremost found in the very city of God if we are in Christ. And this is by his declaration, his decree. And so, child of God, brothers and sisters, since God declares you and I citizens of Zion, let us rejoice in his salvation. Since God declares us citizens of Zion, rejoice. Now, as we consider this application, we're going to be looking at this psalm in four parts, kind of skipping around it. We'll begin in verse 4, this call to rejoice because of what God has redeemed you and I from. Secondly, we're called to rejoice because God has declared us citizens of Zion in verses 5 and 6. And in verse 7, we're called to rejoice because God sustains you and me. And then lastly, going back to the first three verses, rejoice because of the glory awaiting you. So first of all, rejoice because of what God has redeemed us from, or redeemed you and I from. We read in verse 4, I will make mention of Rahab in Babylon to those who know me. Behold, O Philistia, in Tyre with Ethiopia, this one was born there. Now here in this psalm, as the psalmist, the sons of Korah, mention Rahab, this is tied back to Egypt, most likely, as we have Egypt and Rahab, in a sense, connected in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 7. Now, as we consider this list of nations, Egypt, Babylon, Philistia, Tyre, and Ethiopia, these are not just any nations. These are not just distant lands from the people of God. This is Egypt, where the people of God were slaves in the land of Egypt. This is Babylon, which came and took the Israelites away to exile. This is Philistia and Tyre, these enemies of God's people that at times oppress them over and over again. These are not just nations that are surrounding the people of God or distant lands, but these nations that are mentioned are the summary of the very enemies of God's people that we have recorded for us in the scriptures. But look what God says of these enemies. That they know me. Look what he says at the close of this verse. This one was born there. Now that there that is being spoken of here is the very city of Zion that is praised in the opening verses. That's the flow of the text and the flow of the context. They are born in Zion. As our Lord Jesus is having his nightly discussion with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he talks about how that no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Not born of flesh and blood, as John says in the opening of his gospel, but born by the will of God. As Jesus speaks with Nicodemus, it is born by the Holy Spirit, born again. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul says that if we are in Christ, we are a new creation. That the old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. Brothers and sisters, what I want us to understand in looking at this verse in its opening point, that as the enemies of God here are mentioned as being declared citizens, this is reminding us of what you and I have been redeemed from. We are by nature the very enemies of God. We are by nature born into sin, as we looked at this morning. We are by nature in rebellion against Him. We are by nature, as Psalm 2 says, those foolish nations that are in rebellion against God and His anointed. But if you are in Christ, what has God done? He has taken you and I, who were His enemies, and He has declared of His own volition, this one is born in Zion. This one's citizenship is in Zion. The reason we have to rejoice, first of all, brothers and sisters, is that God has redeemed us out of darkness and brought us into His light. Secondly, looking at verses 5 and 6, we're called to rejoice because God has declared us citizens of Zion. And of Zion it will be said, this one and that one were born in her, and the Most High Himself shall establish her. The Lord will record when He registers the peoples, this one was born there, Selah. And the Septuagint, it translates the Hebrew, and it uses mother to describe Zion. That the Zion here is like a mother bearing children. This one was born in her. And yet, as we looked at in verse 4, what is being spoken of here? God is continuing His declaration, His conversation of Zion. It will be said, this one and that one were born in her. Well, that's referring to the nations that were mentioned before, Rahab, Babylon, Philistia, and Tyre, Ethiopia. Those who were not by nature born into Israel, but yet God here says that they were born in her. How does this happen? Well, verse 6, the Lord will record. Again, I think the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, has in its version verse 6 here that it has been declared in writing. So this idea of the Lord recording, it's as if He's registering here, as the psalmist says in verse 6, He's writing it down. He's recording a birth record. Now, the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 9, verse 6, that they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Now, when he's speaking of that, he's mentioning in that context Esau and Jacob. And the idea that God's choice is what stands and reigns supreme. God is the one who chooses. And so just because the people who are in the nation of Israel are in the nation of Israel, it does not mean that they are a part of Israel. Well, we can deduce from that those, looking at that truth through the lens here of Psalm 87, that those who are of other nations, if God has declared them to be citizens of Zion, that they are indeed a part of His people, the true Israelites. This citizenship that is declared here is not because of anything that we have done. It's not because of how good we are or how perfect we have kept God's word, because we are incapable of doing that. But this citizenship is secured by the will and the decree of our God. It cannot be revoked. And this, brothers and sisters, is a reason for us to rejoice. We need to remember that our salvation is not dependent on how good we are. It's not dependent on how good we feel. Our salvation is founded upon and wholly dependent upon the work and faithfulness of our Almighty God. Here, Psalm 87 gives us this wonderful truth. Because a citizenship is based upon the simple declaration and recording of our God. And so we have a reason to rejoice because God has redeemed us out of darkness and being his enemy. But we also have this reason to rejoice because he not only has saved us from being his enemy, but he has then declared us instead to be a citizen of Zion. Third, we can rejoice in verse 7 because God sustains us. We have in the close of this psalm, both the singers and the players on instruments say, "All my springs are found in you." As we consider what the sons of Korah are saying here, singers and players of instruments, what brings joy and happiness, but also praise to the living God. All my springs are in you. All my springs, the very fountainhead, the very source, the very joy that wells up into singing and the playing of instruments, or some translations might have dancers. But where are these springs found? The springs that are found are in the very city of Zion that is being spoken of here. All my springs are found in you. So what does this mean for us? Well, Zion, throughout the pages of Scripture, often points to not an earthly dwelling or city, but ultimately to the heavenly dwelling place of God. And Zion at times refers to the very people of God gathered together to worship him. Zion can refer at times to the church, as God's people are the dwelling place of God. We are the temple of the Most High, the temple of the Holy Spirit. As we consider the very dwelling place of God, as through Jesus Christ he dwells with his people, and as we consider and we long for that heavenly abode in that city where the people of God dwell with him in all glory and perfection, as we consider that day that is to come, that then is the wellspring of joy and gladness and the praise that can pour forth even in the midst of hardship and toil and woe. When we consider that all our springs are found in you, the dwelling place of God, that pictures for us that covenanted relationship that God has made, that we are his people and he is our God. And because we have this relationship established and sustained by God himself, dear child of God, as you go through hardship and difficulty, you can yet still sing and praise God. Because your citizenship, your salvation is not dependent on you, but upon the very faithfulness of God to his word and his promises. In Romans chapter 8, verse 30, we have what we call that golden chain of salvation, that those whom he foreknew, he also predestined, and those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. And I know you've heard me say this again, but it bears repeating. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't say through the Apostle Paul that those whom he justified, he will one day glorify. But it speaks of our salvation as good as done from the moment that it began when God made that choice from all of eternity. But he predestined, he called, he justified, and he glorified. Past tense. Now the comfort that you and I can take from that is, again, God comforts us by telling us that he who began a good work in us will complete it to the end. He will sustain us. He will bring us home to where our citizenship resides. He will bring us through to the very gates of Zion, where we will dwell with him forever. And so we have this reason for rejoicing. That God has redeemed us. He's declared us citizens of his city. And he will sustain us to the very end, bringing us into glory with himself. This then brings us back to the beginning of the psalm, how the psalm begins in verses 1 to 3. We can rejoice because of the glory awaiting us. The sons of Korah write, "His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God, Selah." Again, this is the city of God, his dwelling place. And we're told in these verses that there are glorious things that are spoken of it. And what are the glorious things that are mentioned in these verses? First of all, that God establishes this city. It says that his foundations, the foundations that he has laid, are in the holy mountains. He has established its foundations, and he establishes this city. We read in verse 5, "The Most High himself shall establish her." He is the one who is building his city. He is the one who has set its foundations. And there is nothing that can overthrow the foundations that God has laid. There is nothing that can bring them to ruin or overthrow them. No matter how powerful the enemy of God is and the enemy of his anointed, Satan is simply a creature. And he cannot hold a candle to the power of the Almighty God and Creator of heaven and earth. God has established this city, and it cannot be in any way overthrown. But we also see another glorious thing that is spoken of this city, is that the Lord God loves her. This isn't just a city that he is establishing, a city to dwell in with his people, but there is his love, his affection, that we use in terms that we can understand, directed towards this dwelling place. Here, the Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. As we consider the phrase as it's given to us here in verse 2. Again, Zion in the Old Testament was that city of Jerusalem where it was the very center of the life of the nation of Israel. That the temple was there and the worship of God took place there. That is the gates of Zion. And Jacob here refers to all the other dwelling places scattered throughout the nation. Now, it's not that God doesn't love his people and all the places that they reside and they dwell and all the times of gathering together. But what he particularly loves and delights in is when his people are together with him in worship. This is what our God loves and he desires. He loves it more than the gates of Jacob or all the dwellings of Jacob. As we consider the city of God, the very Zion that he has established, we, brothers and sisters, are a part of that city. And we get the little taste here and now of that assembly of God's people to come as we share in these moments of worship, stepping into the assembly or the embassy of heaven, stepping out of the world into the very soil of heaven, and by faith worship with our brothers and sisters who have gone before us, whose souls have been made perfect, with the myriads of the angels worshiping directly before his throne, with the brothers and sisters throughout the world in their various regions all worshiping throughout this day as it spread throughout the earth. This global gathering of God's people as we by faith enter into the heavenly throne room, this is what God loves more than all the other dwellings of Jacob. And this is what we too are to long for and to desire, these moments here now, but then ultimately the great and glorious day to come when it will be done in perfection without any taint of sin or hindrance. And we will see our God, our eyes will behold him. And we will hear from his voice. Now, another of the glorious things that are spoken of this city as God establishes her and God loves her, we have here of the glorious things that God himself will glorify her. God is the one who glorifies his city. God's love, his dwelling with his people, is what glorifies the very city of God in Zion itself. It is what glorifies the church. Brothers and sisters, we should mourn and weep if we find as we examine ourselves that we would be okay with heaven if God wasn't there. What makes heaven heaven? What makes heaven glorious? What makes that age to come so wonderful and beautiful and desirable? It's not to be the fact that we will be without sadness, and not to be the fact that we will be without pain. It is not to be the fact that we will live forever. But that chief reason that Zion is so glorious is that it is the very dwelling place of God. And the reason that our affection and desire should be poured out towards that dwelling place of God is because it is his abode. It is where he resides. We will see him face to face. And if for whatever reason God would not be there, it would be, brothers and sisters, hell itself. We need to seek and desire this heavenly abode. And we can, as we think upon that, because the truth is God is there. God is the source of all light and joy and gladness in the age to come as his people are gathered before him. We have reason to rejoice because God is the one who is establishing, who loves, and will glorify his city, his church, his people. As we consider this psalm, brothers and sisters, let us know beyond a shadow of a doubt and rejoice and the wonderful grace of God that is on display in this psalm. That he has taken out of his enemies and declared his enemies to be his citizens, his children. And he in this psalm shows us that he will bring it to completion. He will not allow us to fall away into darkness, but those who are citizens of Zion, who were born there, he will bring into his presence to dwell with him in glory forever. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is our name written in the citizenry of heaven, of Zion? Are we citizens listed there? Well, God promises again in his word, that if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved. If we profess with our mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then we are saved. If we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Our citizenship is based upon the grace of God shown to us in Jesus Christ. May we, brothers and sisters, rejoice, because in Jesus Christ, God declares us citizens of Zion. Amen. Our Lord, we thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. You have taken us out of the enemies of your people and of you yourself, and you have declared and made us citizens of your holy city. May we rejoice, Lord, in your faithfulness to the promises that you have made, and that you will bring us, Lord, into your holy presence to dwell with you forever. May you, Lord, come quickly, and may we, Lord, be vigilant in proclaiming your gospel. And may you call your lost sheep into the fold, into your house, through the gospel you have given to proclaim. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.